Hello and welcome to the OMFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we are speaking about the World Gold Council's annual survey of central bank gold reserves management and the broader outlook for central bank gold holdings over the sort of short to medium term. This is Pierre Ortlieb from London, and today we're speaking to Kurtuluş Paşpele Diamondopoulos, who is the Director of Central Banks and Public Policy at the World Gold Council. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome.
I believe that the World Gold Council published its 2020 annual survey on central bank gold reserves fairly recently, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. Can you tell us a little bit about your findings? Can you give us sort of a broad overview of the results of the survey?
Hi, Pierre. Thank you for inviting. Yes, we published our third central bank gold reserve survey in May, presented key findings to the central banks over a webinar, which was well attended. And I'm happy to be here today to record this podcast. I hope this will give wider access to the key findings of the survey. We did our survey third year in a row with YouGov. YouGov is an independent survey company. And the survey result for individual central banks are anonymous to the World Gold Council. We reach out 150 central banks again. We received 51 eligible responses. This was the highest response in terms of both the number of central banks joined and also response rate, which was 33%, despite the disruption of the COVID-19. The survey came with lots of positive highlights about gold and central banks. First of all, this high response rate is a strong sign of an increased interest of the central bank in gold. Another strong sign is the substantial increase in the number of central banks planning to increase their gold holdings. 20% of central banks said they are planning to buy gold this year. This was only 8% last year. And as you know, we have seen a record buying from central banks recent years. Central banks add 650 tons both in 2018 and 2019. While we don't expect the same figures for this year, it is good to see that 20% is stated that they are willing to buy.
So you mentioned kind of the continuing trend of gold purchases and the addition of a large quantity of gold to central bank reserves portfolios. I mean, this is kind of a common or a fairly well-known story, I think. But I'd be curious to hear more about how the drivers of gold purchases have changed. I wonder, is that something that you dug into as part of the survey?
Yes, of course, we delved into lots of details about the central bank's gold holdings and how they manage it. And of course, we started asking central banks about their total reserves. We also asked central banks what are the themes relevant in their investment decisions. Half of the central bank surveyed indicated that they are holding higher level of reserves compared to 5 years ago. This was 69% last year. We believe that the COVID-19 pandemic almost certainly being the factor on this drop because, as you know, central banks around the world deployed their reserves to maintain current stability and financial system liquidity in their country. So this was a very natural result. 88% of central banks said negative interest rates are the most important factor on their reserve management decision. This is very positive for gold, especially now with the COVID-19 environment. Interest rate levels will continue to be low and gold will be even more attractive in this environment as opportunity cost of holding gold will be lower. In fact, over 2/3 of central banks said that gold's share in international reserves will grow over the next 5 years.
So it seems like there's both a decline in total reserves because of the COVID-related drawdown that we saw in March and April, but then there's also a higher share of gold holdings already. So that's kind of a trend that you expect to see continue over the next 5 years from the results of this survey, it seems. What other investment related factors go into kind of the gold holdings? Is it, you know, gold tends to do really well during periods of instability, and so the memory of a pandemic is still very fresh. What are kind of the investment factors that go in there?
Survey showed a significant shift in central banks' view on gold. And the main thing is investment-related factors became more important. Like last year's result, more than 80% of central banks surveyed hold gold as part of their total international reserves. They stated again, historical position and long-term store of value are the top two factors behind their decision to hold gold. However, similarities stopped there, as this year, other investment-related factors became more important. Let's say performance during the times of crisis has risen to become the third most important factor, which was the fifth important factor last year, and also no default risk, effective portfolio diversifier, highly liquid asset. They all saw a significant increase in their relevance in this year. In parallel to this, survey showed that central banks are managing their gold connection with other reserves. 4 in 5 central banks manage gold as a separate asset, however, growing number, and these are exclusively from emerging countries, said they are including gold in their investment or liquidity tranches. The majority of the central banks are managing their gold separately, and when we ask them why, we saw two famous reasons. 42% said it is because gold is a legacy asset, and 36% stated that because gold is a strategic asset.
So there's a growing kind of share of central banks that actively manage their gold holdings. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think from my perspective, it would be good to know what means to actively manage your gold reserves.
At this point, we ask many questions, how central banks are buying their gold, which kind of gold product they are buying, where they hold their gold. These are very important because as any other investment product, you have to have the most liquid product to trade actively. And answers are all in line with our expectations. OTC market is still the most common way for central banks to buy gold. Quarter of central banks also buy gold from domestic production. If you remember last year, we discussed this again, buying from local production has been a new trend because central banks can increase their gold reserves by spending their domestic money, which is very important for them. Therefore, they are employing these policies. In 2019, the most common form of gold purchase was good delivery bar. And again, this year, same, this is the most liquid product. However, there seems to be a few percentages stated for kilo bar and dore, and we believe that these are connected with the domestic purchase programs. Bank of England continues to be the most popular custodian again. However, percentage fell to 43 from last year's 56. On the other hand, domestic storage has grown in popularity up to 33% from last year's 28%. This has been a trend by central banks recent years as well to bring their gold back. They should always keep in mind that by doing this, they are forgiving liquidity aspects of their gold holdings. Most central banks hold their golds in allocated form. This is very important for risk management. However, the share of unallocated gold holding was surprisingly high this year. It is important to note that any central bank that holds gold in unallocated account is exposed to the credit risk of the custodian, and which is very important for central banks.
Could you just explain briefly what it means to hold gold in an allocated versus unallocated account and what the custodian has to do with that and their credit risk? What's the relationship there?
Allocated account, which is the most preferable one by central banks and should be the way. The central bank has entitlement for the specific bars. But in unallocated account, central bank has entitlement to the amount of gold, but not the specific bars. This makes a big difference when custodian goes bankrupt, as unallocated account holder is treated as a creditor to the custodian. Unallocated gold holder might get at the end their gold, but they are already headline risk, so none of the central bank prefer this. If we continue, one third of the respondent central bank manage their reserves. When we say active management, they are mainly doing swaps and deposit. But this year, deposit loss, it is popularity to swap. This might be because of a few reasons. Maybe they find deposit rates low. Maybe they find deposits more risky. It should be noted that swap is a collateralized transaction. Therefore, it bears little credit risk compared to deposit. I am happy to share that we are working on a research paper that aims to explain the drivers of gold deposit rates. We think this report will be quite useful to many reserve managers. We will be launching this report in coming months and planning to host another webinar to present the findings.
Can you just explain, as a quick aside, what does a gold swap look like? What's the collateral in a gold swap transaction?
Let's say central bank has plenty of US dollar, but credit risk is very important, and they are all stretching their credit limits to commercial institutions. When central bank give US dollar, let's say, deposit to commercial bank through swap transaction, they get gold collateral. This is the way central bank can manage its credit risk and make return from its foreign exchange. Central banks can be on the other side of the transaction as well, give their gold, get US dollar, and make return well over sometimes than the plain gold deposit.
That's really interesting. I wasn't familiar with that transaction. I mean, obviously, central banks use swaps all the time, both for domestic and foreign exchange liquidity management, but I wasn't familiar with the gold swap specifically. I mean, you guys have some great tools on your website in terms of tracking gold holdings, and both in terms of volume and sort of dollar quantities. And, you know, there's that, but then there's also kind of this idea that a lot of central banks hold gold as a legacy asset and because of its historical position. And I think what comes out of those two different trends is that some central banks don't hold gold at all. And this is something that comes up in your survey as well.
Yeah,
I think there was about 20% that don't hold gold. Kind of the driver behind that. I mean, why do some choose not to hold gold?
Yes, Pierre, as you mentioned, 20% of the central banks said they are not holding gold. We asked the reason, and the top three reasons were not enough understanding of the market, preference for better yielding or performing assets, and difficulty in assessing relevant data. Some of them also selected unsure how to value gold. These should not be barriers to invest in gold anymore. I strongly advise central bank reserve managers to get in contact with us or visit our webpage, which is www.goldhub.com, where they will find plenty of data, research, and insights. We know that reserve managers dealing with coupon-yielding instruments used to work with cash flows to determine the value of the instrument. Gold is different than others because gold doesn't produce any coupon. I want to state this as it is very important. Gold is not producing any coupon because it doesn't have any credit risk. Therefore, all reserve managers need to do is to predict the price of gold, which is the simple equilibrium of demand and supply. However, because of gold's dual nature, investors are not comfortable with this. In fact, it is very important for them to be comfortable as gold is a strategic asset for them. Therefore, we created gold valuation framework, which is academically validated methodology. And it is based on the principle that the price of gold and its performance can be explained by the interaction of demand and supply. And we also developed a tool called Quorum, which is empowered by the gold valuation framework. Quorum is a web-based, robust quantitative approach analyzing how gold made react under macroeconomic and geopolitical conditions. I strongly advise my fellow central bankers to check these information from our side, and we will be always happy to work with them to understand better. Another reason why central banks are shy from holding gold is accounting-related issues. And if you ask
what exactly do you mean by accounting-related issues? That sounds like something worth exploring.
Yeah, again, this is related with gold's dual structure. International accounting rules simply do not have guidance for how central banks should account for their monetary gold. IFRS, which is the current system, treats gold as commodity and therefore states that gold should be accounted for at cost. This will be more meaningful for the accountants, not us. While that is appropriate for companies holding gold in the form of jewelry or industrial uses, it is not appropriate for central banks who are holding gold as a financial asset. In the absence of a suitable framework, central banks adopted various different treatments, which limit the comparability of financial statements, also risk a reduction in their credibility, central banks' credibility. We have been aware of this issue and working on this since 2016. We also created guidance on accounting for monetary gold in 2018. We have been discussing this with central banks regularly. We also ask central banks what kind of methodology they are using to account their gold holdings. This year's survey showed that World Gold Council's guidance is the most commonly used method among central banks, and this is entirely driven by the emerging countries' central banks. And I want to again offer central bank reserve managers, central bankers to contact with us, so we can provide help and guidance on this. They can find plenty of information in our webpage dedicated only for central banks, which is centralbankgold.org.
That's a source for advice on broadly issues around central bank gold holdings, specifically everything to do with the notorious accounting-related issues and much more. I think that was a pretty good overview of the key findings of your annual survey. Do you have any final points that you'd like to make?
Yes, Pierre. Actually, I want to make a final point. It is not about the findings of the survey, but how we dealt with the survey. The biggest challenge of doing this year's survey was to request central banks' participation in the survey while our daily lives were disrupted with many ways because of COVID-19, and central bankers were extremely busy with many critical jobs in their domestic markets. I would like to take this opportunity to thank them all who participated in our survey under this condition. I want to state also that this survey is the voice of the central banks that we share with them back. And also we are doing this survey because many of them often ask us to share what other central banks are doing with their gold holdings. I hope we will do this survey next year in much better environment, and I hope my fellow central bankers' support will be there for us.
Thank you for joining us. It's been great to speak to you, Kirti. We discussed the state of play around central bank gold holdings, various techniques that reserves managers use to manage their gold, and some of the other overarching issues in the central bank reserves management space. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to our channel. We are on iTunes and Spotify.